proportion.
It's time for Nicholas Snow Live, the podcast that's all about connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio. It's Gadio.
Hello and welcome to Nicholas Snow Live for Tuesday, May 26, 2015. This past Friday, May 22nd, was Harvey Milk Day, and I had the honor and privilege to attend the 4th annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast here in the Coachella Valley. I'm actually looking at the program right now. The official name, yes, the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, Coachella Valley. It took place at the Palm Springs Hilton, and their ballroom was packed with 400 people. 80 of the attendees were members of different gay straight student alliances at the high schools throughout the Coachella Valley. It was an incredibly moving event. It's one of my favorite all-time events from anywhere, everywhere to go to each year. And I've been to lots of LGBT events over the decades. This is just one of my favorite, hands down. At any rate, coming up in this episode, I have some of your favorite people, but I have some amazing, amazing speeches, just unbelievable speeches that you don't want to miss. I don't want to give anything away, really, except tell you to stay tuned. I want to give a big shout-out of thanks to all my advertisers. You'll hear the commercials during the show. If this episode had a presenting sponsor, you would be hearing their commercial right now at the beginning of the show. For information on how to secure this sponsorship, or for the contact information for all my advertisers, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on the Advertisers link in the main sub-menu. Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch. Rumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revival. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revival. Find it here. Visit us at RevivalStores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before, and I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
And now, on with the snow, show, celebrating his fourth decade as a multimedia entertainment activist. Producer and host Nicholas Snow is all about honoring and expressing his life force in a way that makes a difference, while inspiring you to do the same. Reaching millions of people worldwide, Nicholas is definitely a leading primo promo homo on the go-go. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just drifted into your podcast experience. And here he is, Nicholas Snow.
Welcome back to my complete coverage of the 2015 fourth annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which took place in Palm Springs, California on May 22nd. The event started out with a performance by a subsection of the Palm Springs Gay Men's Chorus.
Beautiful song for a beautiful morning. having you all here today, and thank you for those of you returning. Today, the equality movements around the globe are celebrating the life story, message, and legacy of Harvey Milk. On behalf of the Harvey Milk Diversity Coalition, I thank you. Thank you for making the commitment to be here. This is the fourth sold out Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast. We are over 400 strong this morning, and we're here to honor the memory of Harvey Milk, celebrate his message of hope, and celebrate his legacy as a political and community leader who stood for justice and equality across the intersections of oppression, self-identity, and self-determination. Just as Harvey displayed an affinity for building coalitions for the better good of the community, we got here today through a collaborative effort of the Harvey Milk Diversity Coalition. Committee members, would you please stand? We thank you for your time and for your commitment to this beautiful showcase of diversity in the Coachella Valley. Special thanks to founding coalition partners who have led the way from the very beginning: Palm Springs Pride, Equality California, Desert AIDS Project, and Gray Public Relations and Marketing. Thank you. We also acknowledge our 2015 sponsors who have helped make this celebration possible: our premier partner, The Desert Outlook; our gold sponsor, Grace Helen Spearman Foundation, The Standard Magazine, Desert Daily Guide, and Coachella Valley Independent. And a heartfelt appreciation to the silver sponsors and all of the table sponsors listed on the screen and in your program. More than any other modern figure, Harvey Milk's life and political career embody the rise of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender civil rights movement in California, across the nation, and throughout the world. A movement today whose diverse communities include an ever-increasing legion of wonderful allies, along with gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, genderqueer, two-spirit, questioning, and intersex individuals. He was a visionary, and he emphasized the positive message of hope for young gay people, hope for a better world, hope for a better tomorrow, and hope that it will be all right. Since his assassination, he has continued to give hope to several generations of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, and supportive youth. And did I mention we have a sold-out group here of 400 people? We are especially proud that 80 high school students from Gay Straight Alliance Club and their advisors are in the audience. Partners at Safe School Desert Valley. The students are joining us from schools throughout the Coachella Valley. And a special thank you to Doug Hairgrove and Woody Wood for organizing all the students. The need to give our youth hope, we believe student participation this morning empowers our LGBTQ youth and allied youth leaders. We support grassroots youth-led groups and DSA, and we believe in empowering them to educate the schools and communities to advocate for just policies that protect LGBTQ youth from harassment and from violence. And in the spirit of Harvey Milk, we encourage them to organize in coalition with other youth groups across identity lines to address broader issues of oppression. Proceeds from this breakfast are earmarked for the Valley State Straight Alliance Clubs that advocate, organize, and create safer schools and healthier communities for LGBTQ youth. For that end, centerpieces you see on the table were donated by Palm Springs photographer Michael Carrion, who's also here this morning. They include a beautiful custom collection of 7 greeting cards with photographic images of local scenes. There's a bid card at each table, and the highest bidder at your table makes the donation to the Pride GSA Fund and wins the centerpiece. As our program gets underway, please join me and welcome George Zander, Field Manager, Equality California, and co-chair of the Harvey Milk Diversity Coalition.
Both to shake hands. Good morning. From 1973 to 1977, there were only 5 openly gay individuals elected to public office in the United States, and Harvey Milk was one of them. Alan Spear served almost 30 years in the Minnesota Senate, with his first win in 1973. In 1974, Kathy Crescenti ran a successful bid for the seat on the Ann Arbor, Michigan City Council. In January 1975, Elaine Noble started her first of 2 terms in the Massachusetts House of Representatives. In 1976, Jim Yavin was elected to Madison City Council. In 1977, Harvey Milk was elected to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, campaigning on making government responsive to all individuals, gay liberation, and the importance of neighborhoods in the city. They are all champions for true equality. It's on their shoulders that we stand today. We've come a long way. The Victory Fund estimates now about 500 out elected officials serve annually at all levels of government. Harvey Milk was one of the 20th century's important social and political pioneers. As the first openly gay elected official in the U.S., he fought for the rights and equality of all, including the elderly, small business owners, and many ethnic communities of his district, as well as the growing gay community in San Francisco. He exhibited exceptional courage, integrity, and value in these struggles to make the world a better place. As we celebrate Harvey Milk Day here, we ask various elected bodies to join us in honoring the memory of Harvey Milk and celebrate his message of hope, civic mindedness, and community, and recognize Friday, May 22nd, 2015, as Harvey Milk Day. Our thanks to the following who issued official proclamations or resolutions and continue their pursuit to create equality for all of their residents: the City of Cathedral City, the City of Desert Hot Springs, the City of Indio, the City of Palm Springs, and the City of Rancho Mirage, the California Assembly, and the County of Riverside from Supervisor John Benoit. Come on up. To illustrate how far we've come since 1977, when Harvey Milk was elected to San Francisco's Board of Supervisors, I invite our local elected officials and public law enforcement officers to join me on the stage. A broad public education and open dialogue were paramount to Harvey Milk's life work as a civil rights leader. And we acknowledge our very own local leaders who are with us today in part because Harvey Milk opened the door for them. They have his energy. They have his energy. They inspire all of us. And they work tirelessly for our community, and they're guided by a timeless vision for a better world. Many of you know these folks, but I want to introduce them all by name. Joey Acuna is on the Coachella Valley Unified School District Board. Carolee Hargrove, who's on the Morongo Valley Unified School District Board. And James Williamson, Palm Springs Unified School District. Sergeant Kyle Stern is representing the Palm Springs Police Department. Dave Reese is representing the Palm Springs Fire Department as their battalion chief. And Councilwoman Vinnie Pope from Palm Springs. And Mayor Pro Tem from Palm Springs, Paul Lewin. And Mayor Sam Henry from Cathedral City. And John Aguilar, I had it right. John Aguilar from the Cathedral City City Council. I'm going to pause so you can all drink and form in. The Sheriff of Riverside County, Sam Fisk. Mayor Pro Tem Greg Pettis from Cathedral City. Councilman Shelley Catherine, Cathedral City. Councilman Mark Carnevale from Cathedral City. And this is Romero from the Riverside County School Board. Okay. Let's give them all one more big round of applause in memory of Harvey Milk.
Next up, serving a fourth year on the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast Organizing Committee, a very well-loved and respected leader in the Coachella Valley, my friend, Alexis Ortega.
Good morning. Harvey Milk was an advocate for youth and is quoted as saying, "All young people, regardless of sexual orientation or identity, deserve a safe and supportive environment in which to achieve their full potential." And the Coachella Valley High School Gay Straight Alliances seek to create both safe and supportive environments Harvey Milk envisioned. Today, we recognize an outstanding Gay Straight Alliance for their work reaching out to all students and staff on campus and welcoming them to participate in GSA activities, fostering a positive self-image among all LGBTQI youth, and for encouraging acceptance, providing a safe space, and supporting fellow students during the coming out process. Recognized as an outstanding GSA and for their active engagement at school and in the community, maintaining high membership and attendance throughout the year, maintaining an outstanding rapport with the club advisor, and for their active participation in events sponsored by Safe Schools Desert Cities,
the 2015 Harvey Milk Outstanding GSA Award, and a $500 cash prize is presented to you this morning, Yucca Valley High School True Colors GSA. Accepting the award is the advisor, Jennifer Jungwirth. As I wasn't really expecting this gift, so I brought these gifts, so thank you.
Hi there, I'm Enrique Campos. I've been in the club for about a year and a half, and I'd like to thank you all for giving us this award. Ms. Day up here, Ms. Jungwirth, has been a really big help for us and has really encouraged us to become the DJ that we are right now, so thank you, Ms. Day.
And although I've only been a member of the club for about a year, our advisor has created a safe space where we can really be ourselves, and I have personally formed some of the best friendships that I've ever had being in that club. So.
Please welcome to the stage Mike Thompson, Executive Director of the LGBT Center of the Desert and Harvey Milk Diversity Coalition Committee Member.
Good morning. Good morning. Do you realize how good looking you are? I'm just saying, I've got a great view. It's a great looking crowd. Thank you so much for being here this morning. You know, sometimes the relationships we have all had with our parents, you know, can be the things that Greek myths are made of. Novels and screenplays are made of. Some are close, while others work on the love-hate differences that exist and the tensions that come with living life. This morning we have the privilege of hearing from a mother whose story is a proud and full of love as they come. Please welcome to the stage, Kelly Drake.
First, I just want to say thank you to everybody for being here, and it's an honor that myself and my son get to be a part of this special event. And I especially want to thank my family for being here with the journey with Aiden, because it's great, and I'm glad that they love him and everybody's so supportive. As with any parent, when your child's born, you just want them to be healthy and happy. I have to be honest when I say that I truly didn't know or understand what a transgender child goes through during normal life until my son started his journey. And to be really honest, I had never even heard the term before, other than slang words and the not-so-kind words used to describe it. I thought my son was happy. He appeared to be happy on the outside, most of the time. But what I didn't know was that he was struggling with a lot more than I could ever imagine. Last June, when my son began his new journey, I became more informed of the details that caused the silent suffering, and it was heartbreaking to hear he just wasn't comfortable in his own skin at all. Until the start of the transition, our family has overcome many obstacles. We faced challenges with each other. Confusion, resentment, and arguing became normal for a while. We have scheduled and made many appointments with many doctors. My son also was admitted to a behavioral unit for anger and cutting, twice.
and I can't say how many different descriptions he was given over a two-year period. All because everybody was trying to figure out what was wrong. He didn't even know what was wrong. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with my son. A friend of our youngest son isn't even allowed over at our house because there's a transgender person in the home. And that's okay. Unfortunately, there's always going to be a few people who don't understand or don't agree for one reason or another. I can only hope that with education, an open mind, and an open heart, parents will understand and pay attention to how your child actually feels. It's very easy to say that you'd be an open, supportive, loving parent to a straight, cis, conventional, gender normative child. But you are truly tested as a human being and a parent when your child tells you they identify with a different gender. And no, I'm not saying that all tomboys will discover that they're transgender. But if you notice that they are physically hurting themselves by tying their breasts down to hide them, help them. Please help them. Help them be the person they know that they are. There were days when my son and I would fight for hours because he was asking for help and I didn't know what to do, who to call, and call for what. My patience had worn very thin. My son started attending the True Colors Club at the high school and was pointed in the direction he needed to go. As far as what kind of doctors needed to be seen and why, and a phone number to a woman who helped basically jumpstart the entire process. It's very hard to see so many kids that are trying to figure all this out and have no help or support at all. Many end up taking their own life or become homeless because to them there is no hope and their families will never accept it. I hope one day that there will be unlimited resources for these young people to help them on their journey. It definitely has been a learning process for all involved, even my son's endocrinologist. And we are still learning new things with every appointment. We've accomplished a lot in the past year, and I'm so thankful. I admire his bravery, his courage, to take the necessary steps to obtain the kind of life that he wants, and to just be happy. I would like to proudly introduce my handsome son, Aiden Jimmy Stockman.
Before I begin, I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today on such a special day. You know I'm really bad at public speaking. This is going to be about some of the struggles and accomplishments I've been through to get to where I am today. My name is Aiden James Stockman. My biological name is Victoria Rose Stockman. I'm 18 years of age, and I've lived in Yucca Valley, California my entire life, and have been part of the YVHS True Color Club for about 2 years now. During my childhood, I was never really one of the girls. As far as I can remember, I was always interested in boy things, always had guy friends, and never really wanted to hang out with my older sister, and never fully was interested in the things she was doing. When my family had a dress nights for special events, I never wanted to wear a dress or have my hair done. Around my seventh grade year was when my first puberty hit and began the disconnected hate I felt towards my body. As I got older, this feeling got worse. Some days it's hard for me to shower or use the restroom and feel fine with myself for the rest of the day. I started to bind my chest down with 8 bandages, tape, anything I could really find. I didn't get my first actual binder until my sophomore year. At the time, I didn't know there was a safer way of binding. My ribs would get bruised, sometimes the skin raw because of how tight it was, and not to mention it restricted my breathing and movement throughout the day. Another thing about my first puberty was what Mother Nature likes to give us biologically born female. When I would start having these dark weeks, I wouldn't even want to leave the house because I would feel so uncomfortable and degraded in ways. Along with junior high, my biological male friends hit their puberty, and I remember thinking to myself, Why couldn't I be tall like that? Why can't my voice get deep? Why weren't my shoulders broadened? Why couldn't my chest stay flat? I had all these questions, and ultimately I became depressed at the situation. I was uncomfortable using the girls' bathroom, the girls' dressing room, the thought of being on the girls' team for sports. This led to me not wanting to do sports or be a part of clubs or involved in anything, honestly. Around the time I was going through all of this, my family found out I was in the girls, so basically I was a lesbian until I came out to my family as transgender. In high school came, my ninth grade year was absolutely horrible for me. This is when my emotions really started to show. I didn't know what was going on with me or how to explain it, so how could I expect my family to know? During my ninth grade year, I was sent to Loma Linda Behavioral Medicine Center a couple times for depression and anger and other reasons. They were basically gave me medication and therapy, and really I didn't need any of those things. I was just a boy. Going to the hospital made me fall behind on school drastically. I've always known of the term transgender, but never put much thought into it. My sophomore year was when I talked to a friend of mine about how I was feeling and if it was okay. She brought up being transgender, which made me look into a lot more than what I have. That's when I realized that this is who I was. The same year was when I came out to my family as transgender. They've always accepted how I felt and supported me through everything, but this is more drastic. I wrote a 3-page letter front and back to my mom explaining hormone replacement therapy, surgery, and legal name and gender change. The response I got from my mom was amazing, and that day we started a journey looking for a therapist to sign me off for hormones and a doctor to prescribe me with testosterone. This is when I knew that things were starting to turn around for me. There was a lot of running back and forth and frustration until we found a therapist. I was referred to OBGYN trying to get me pregnant, which is definitely not the case. Alexis Unger from San Bernardino who signed me off for hormone replacement therapy, and Dr. Perkle from the Medical Group in Redlands is the one who prescribed me with hormones. So my first injection was June 17, 2014. I'm really happy. And then, at this point, I knew my life was going to change and things were going to be all right. For those of you who don't know what hormone replacement therapy, it gives you the secondary sex characteristics of the person who takes them, of the desired sex. This can be taken by a patch pill or injection. I take one shot every week, every Wednesday. This lowers my voice, obviously. Makes my hair grow on places I never had, like my face, my stomach, and my upper thighs. I've gone in Adam's apple, and recently my muscle is starting to respond to working out a lot more. Now during my senior year, everything is different. My school has been very supportive with everything happening. Now I'm more happy to be participating in sports. I can use change room I should have been using this entire time. The bathroom I should have been using this entire time. This year I was the first transgender on the homecoming court, the first transgender to win senior superlative most changed this freshman year, and the first open trans person. Obviously, I hope I did that. Yeah, I hope I get that. And the first open trans on the wrestling team at YBHO. March 23rd of this year, I had my legal name and gender changed. Also, I plan on getting top surgery in the next month or two. Unfortunately, March 25th, 2011, I was at my lowest point and thought that there was no hope to change anything. This was the day I tried to take my life, and I'm so grateful I'm still here today because I'm 11 months and 5 days on hormones. I'm happier than I've been in my entire life. Yes, I do wish I knew about this sooner because I would have had a better childhood and a better school life. But look where I am today, which couldn't have happened with the love and support of my family and community. My family has always been very open-minded with me and accepted every decision I've made in my lifetime. Today my mom apologizes for putting me in a dress when I was younger, and she always says, I wish you got what you wanted, a receding hairline and acne. As Harvey Milk said, all young people, regardless of sexual orientation or identity, deserve a safe and supportive environment in which to achieve their full potential. The True Colors GSA has been a source of support and helped me make my high school experience a positive one. Please help change the lives of other youth and support the Pride GSA Fund. Use your donation form on your table to help the donation today. See how we can carry on the Harvey Milk legacy and give youth in the valley hope. Thank you.
And when we return, Jeff Kors receives the Harvey B. Milk Leadership Award, Coachella Valley, followed by the keynote speaker, Chris Hayashi, Executive Director of the Transgender Law Center.
Prepare yourself for a snowstorm of global proportion. It's time for Nicholas Snow Live, the podcast that's all about connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio. It's Gadio.
Did you know I'm an author? At the time of this recording, I have two books out. The first, a Living Powerfully with HIV memoir called Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. It takes place throughout Asia and even in Palm Springs. It could be called Eat, Pray, Disclose. The second book, A Return to Brokeback Mountain, Photos and Interviews from the Historic Hollywood Premiere. To find these titles, go to NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Books in the main submenu. Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest-running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride Festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programming, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
In Greater Palm Springs, since 1979, the Desert Business Association has promoted and supported LGBT and allied businesses and professionals who join together for business promotion, economic development, educational, and humanitarian purposes. Their vision is to connect, promote, and build prosperity by embracing all members of the community to make a positive difference. They have many events every month. Find them at desertbusinessassociation.com.
This is Nicholas Snow Live, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio. It's Gadio.
And now please welcome to the stage Ruth Weber, committee member of the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast Coalition and chair of the Desert Stonewall Democrats. Ruth Weber.
I think I have to lower this a little bit. Jeff Kors has a very impressive record of service to the LGBT community, starting 25 years ago when, as a member of the executive committee of the Harvey Milk LGBT Democratic Club, he helped lead the first successful campaign to pass a pro-LGBT equality ballot measure to create domestic partnership in the city of San Francisco. Jeff currently serves as the Government Policy Director for the National Center of Lesbian Rights and is a member of the Executive Board of Women for Marriage. Jeff also serves, as you probably remember, as the Executive Director of Equality California from 2002 to 2011, building the largest and most successful statewide LGBT rights organization in the nation. In 2004, when our community was under attack, Jeff refused to simply play the fence. Instead, he led Equality California in becoming the first major LGBT rights organization to implement a policy required as a condition of endorsement for political candidates to support full equality for the entire LGBT community, and then went all out to elect those candidates who had supported us. The following year, Equality California successfully pushed forward 9 historic bills, and California became the first state to pass legislation that just drafted to allow same-sex couples to marry, and the first to require equal health care for transgender individuals. California went on to pass more than 70 pieces of LGBT rights legislation during Jeff's direction of Equality California. As a result, we, LGBT Californians today, have the most comprehensive civil rights protections in the nation. In order to achieve so much, Jeff became a leader in building coalitions, standing for the rights of other groups before asking them to stand for our rights, the rights of LGBT people. Those efforts helped us secure the first support for marriage equality from the NAACP, United Farm Workers, AT&T, California Teachers Association, SEIU, and many others, too many to name. Jeff's work has resulted in historic progress, including passage of the bill that is the reason we are here today. For it was Jeff who brought the idea of creating a Harvey Milk Day to State Senator Mark Leno. Working in partnership with Senator Leno and with Equality California, they spent 2 years lobbying to create the first and still only official state day of recognition for an openly LGBT person. It was because of Jeff's vision and leadership that people around the country and around the world celebrate Harvey Milk's birthday and learn about his work and our LGBT community's history. As Stuart Milk said upon learning that Jeff was being honored, "I am proud to have worked alongside Jeff Coors, and I know what unites him with the Milk legacy, passion, and leadership. I could not agree more." Please join me in welcoming the winner of this year's Harvey B. Milk Leadership Award, Jeff Coors.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Ruth, for that very generous introduction. I also want to thank the Harvey Milk Committee for putting on the breakfast and for honoring me with this wonderful, wonderful award. Now, a few weeks ago, I was at dinner with a bunch of friends, and I was sitting next to someone who I had just met. So we were doing the normal, who are you and what do you do? And when I talked about my work, he said, "So what happened in your life that led you to want to do civil rights work?" And I thought, wow, wasn't I born this way? And I said, huh. But I thought about it, and I realized how much of my passion for social justice and equality comes from my parents and comes from my Jewish heritage. And it really made me think about that. You know, I learned at a very early age that there are people who use difference to try and elevate their power and how dangerous that was. All 4 of my grandparents lost siblings or other relatives in the Holocaust. And you can only imagine how a 4-year-old must feel when you know that there are people who would actually want to kill you for who you are. And I learned from an early age that being different can really impact your opportunities in life. My dad, who's now 88 and lives here in Palm Springs, graduated number 3 in his class from NYU Law School over 60 years ago. Yet despite that, despite graduating that high from such a prestigious school, he did not get 1 offer from a Wall Street law firm, simply because he was Jewish. Of course, that didn't stop him. He fought on, created his own law firm, became very successful, and him and my mom were activists their entire lives. When my brother and I were reaching school age, they decided to move us to Great Neck, Long Island, a very Jewish community. Actually, about 30 minutes from Woodmere, Long Island, where Harvey Milk's parents did the same thing. And And they did it because they wanted to be in a safe environment, and they wanted to shield their children from the hatred and bigotry and name calling and bullying that goes with anti-Semitism. What they couldn't shield me from is what they didn't know then, that I was gay. It wasn't until I moved out to California to attend a dance law school that I found that kind of safe and welcoming environment and lived openly as a gay man. It is really liberating when you actually get to live your life authentically. However, when it came time to apply for jobs, and that was more than 30 years ago, the advice that we got was, don't list your work for the LGBT Law Association because it's going to be very hard to get a job. So I reluctantly and regrettably agreed. Got lots of offers, and I decided to go to Washington, D.C. to be a pro environmental lawyer, because that was a passion of mine. It was pretty shocking to go to D.C., this is when Reagan was president, and find that virtually everyone in politics and everyone working in law firms was closeted. Going back to living a double life and hiding who I was really dehumanizing. At the end of my first year of work, I realized I need to take a vacation with my people. So I went to Provincetown, largely. And I picked up a book called The Mayor of Castro Street. It's the story of Harvey Milk's life, his historic election in 1977, how he got there, and what he did. And reading that book on beaches in Provincetown, surrounded by my people, I realized it was time to go back to San Francisco. And as fate would have it, when I got back to work, in the pile of mail was a letter from one of the law firms who had offered me a job after law school. And they said, your offer is still open, and if you want to move back to San Francisco and work for us, we'll pay to move you, find you an apartment, and you can start anytime in the next 6 months. I was so excited. But I learned my lesson. So I called them and said, hey, you know, I'd like to come out and talk to a few of the younger attorneys about their experiences before I decide. And when I went, I brought an updated resume, including my work for the LGBT Law Association. And I asked the two attorneys I thought would be most receptive what it would be like to be an out gay person at that firm. They both said, just keep it quiet. If you don't share your so-called private life, and no one knows, it should be okay. Well, I went back to D.C. and decided I wasn't going to go work for them. But what I didn't expect was to get a letter telling me that after those meetings, they realized it was not a good fit and they withdrew my offer. I finally exactly understood what my dad went through. And like my dad, I decided I was going to fight. But of course, there was no law protecting LGBT people from being fired or not hired in California back in 1987. So I went and joined the Harvey Milk LGBT Democratic Club, which is where I got my start in doing this kind of work. And throughout my life, I have really tried to honor some of the lessons I learned from Harvey Milk when I was reading that book on the beaches in Provincetown. And there are three things that really stand out to me. Harvey taught us that no matter how high the obstacle, no matter if they move the goalposts, if we work together, if we work tirelessly, if we work passionately, we can achieve the social justice we want. But it's not going to happen all by itself. The second thing he taught us was we have to be about more than just ourselves. If we have equality for us and someone else doesn't have equality, we really have not gained anything. So we have to work in coalitions and stand for each other, because when we do, we are the majority. And third, it was his catchphrase, you got to give him hope. To try and lead by being negative and critical and talking about how bad things are, that's where we see hatred and bad things happen. But if you lead through hope and inspiration and trying to create a vision and a world that we all want to live in, that's when you create change and the kind of change we want to make happen. Thank you. necessarily working passionately for what we believe in, working for others, and giving hope. Great gifts that Harvey Milk left us. And gifts that you see in everyone here, see it in Aiden, we see it in people throughout this amazing valley. You know, my parents found an accepting and welcoming place as Jewish people in Great Neck. And James and I have found the same as so many others as gay people here in Palm Springs. This city has done so much to be at the forefront of the fight for social justice and equality. But there is one thing Palm Springs hasn't done that San Francisco did, oh, in 1977. And that's elect a really nice Jewish boy from Long Island to their city council. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Jeff. Good morning. It's my privilege to introduce today's keynote speaker and one of our nation's leading voices for transgender equality, Chris Hayashi. Chris has been active in social, racial, and economic justice organizing for over 20 years. He was at the helm of the Audre Lorde Project, a lesbian, gay, bisexual, two-spirit, trans, and gender nonconforming people of color organizing centers in New York City for 10 years. He has served as a trainer and organizer at Western State Center in Portland, Oregon, and his leadership was put to task early on as executive director of Youth United for Community Action, a youth organizing group in California, led by young people of color organizing for social and environmental justice. Today, Chris is the executive director of the Transgender Law Center, one of Equality California's key partners, which works to change law, policy, attitudes, so that all people can live safely, authentically, and free from discrimination, regardless of their gender identity or gender expression. Please join me in giving a warm Palm Springs welcome to Chris Hayashi.
thanks so much for that introduction. So, you know, unfortunately, I am going to start us on a bit of a somber note. I did want to ask folks to join me in taking a moment of silence. You know, unfortunately, as members of the LGBT community, we too often have lost family, friends, and members of our community to violence, hatred, and discrimination. And since this year began in 2015, 10 transgender women of color have been murdered in this country. And most recently, we lost a community member in Philadelphia, London Chanel. She was murdered, she was only 21 years old. And then this week here in California, we lost another member of our community, a trans young person, Kyler Prescott. He was only 14 years old. We lost him to suicide. So I want to ask folks to join me in taking a moment of silence. Thank you. So, you know, it's a real honor and privilege to be here in Palm Springs. You know, this is an amazing, beautiful community of LGBT leaders and organizers and activists. You know, this is only my second time here in Palm Springs, so I'm going to share something a little bit embarrassing that I haven't told many people, which is that the first time I came here to Palm Springs was about a year ago, and I was like, great, we're going to Palm Springs. We're going to Florida. I love it there. It's beautiful. It's warm. So, you know, just to say it clearly, geography is not one of my strengths. So it's a real honor to be here. Thank you so much to the planning committee and the folks who did all of the hard work to put this together. Thank you so much also to the hotel staff and our servers. A special thanks to Jan, who got me here today, and for all your hospitality. So, you know, I kind of feel like after Kelly and Aiden's speech, I don't have a ton to say, maybe we should just bring them back up here, but Kelly and Aiden, if you're still in the room, if you could stand up. Folks are here, maybe they're not, but I did just want to take another moment to honor them and to give them some applause. So, my name is Chris Rossi. I'm the Executive Director of the Chan Slender Law Center. I just wanted to take a little bit to talk a little bit about the Chan Slender Law Center here, super short. So, we began in 2002 as a project of the National Center for Lesbian Rights with just a few staff, a handful of committed community leaders and volunteers. Now, in 2015, we've grown to one of the largest organizations in the country, advancing the rights of trans and gender non-conforming people through litigation, policy advocacy, public education, and movement building. We have grown to not just a California-based organization, but California is definitely our home and heart, but to a national organization. And actually, this year, we are opening up our first office outside of California in Atlanta, Georgia, and expanding our work into the South, where there's just such incredible need for our community. We're also launching other national projects, and one example that I'll just share is that, as we've seen today, there are incredible trans and gender non-conforming youth leaders like Aiden and with their families who are speaking out, who are telling their stories, and who are organizing for change in communities across the country. We are launching a project that we've been working on for the last year, but we're really expanding it to support trans and gender non-conforming youth leaders across the country, to support their leadership, to support them in telling stories, and in some ways, most importantly, to support trans young people in building community with each other and supporting other trans youth. So I want to start by taking a few minutes to honor Jeff. I lived here in California for about 8 years, but then I left and I went to New York City. And so I've been gone for over 10 years. So you can kind of add that up. I'm actually a lot older than I look. So Jeff and I knew a colleague, but I do know that Jeff is not at all new in his partnership and his allyship with trans community here in California and across the country. I was talking to Nathan Davis, who some folks here may know. He's the former executive director at the Trans Gender Law Center, and I was telling him that I was going to be here today, and so he shared some words about Jeff that I just wanted to share with him. Nathan said, Jeff set the standard that ETCA should not only be trans-inclusive, but he went further. He insisted that trans issues be part of the candidate endorsement process ETCA's passed. He helped co-support the Transgender Leadership Summit here in California at the very beginning. Jeff advocated seriously for trans laws, incoming some of the first in the nation here in California. He made sure ETCA was a strong partner with the Transgender Law Center and listened to the trans community, and ultimately worked with CLC to build a strong trans equality movement. On behalf of CLC, Jeff just wanted to thank you for all your leadership and your continued work. So, you know, as an LGBT movement, right, we are in a really critical moment. Particularly as trans and gender non-conforming folks in the movement, we're at a really critical point. And so, you know, I just wanted to share a little bit of my own history. So, you know, I grew up in Seattle, Washington, But all my family's from Hawaii. I was born female, and as I was growing up, I was basically this little gender nonconforming Asian kid running around with all the boys in the neighborhood. And I was lucky because my parents, at least when I was younger, they were okay with that. They were okay that I was this little gender nonconforming kid. But you know, all that actually really changed when I went to school, and you know, I think this also speaks to how, particularly here in California, in some parts of the state, conditions are better for trans youth. But it all changed when I went to school, and you know, I was sent clear messages from other students, from teachers, and from school administrators that how I was not okay. I experienced harassment. You know, there were many days at a very, very young age where I didn't want to live. It was very clear for me at a very young age that as a trans person, as a gender nonconforming person, as a person of color, that this world was not set up for me to live, to survive, and to thrive. So, you know, fast forward a few decades later, and definitely a few decades later, you know, we are in a slightly different world. I mean, that's clear from some of the speakers we've heard today. You know, as someone who came out as trans nearly 20 years ago, where we are today was unimaginable then. It was unimaginable 10 years ago, and I would say even 5 years ago. We've had this incredible increase of visibility of our community with Laverne Cox on the cover of Time, Janet Mock on the bestsellers list, and most recently with Jenna on Primetime TV. There's been an incredible increase in visibility. We've also had incredible wins. We've won legal protections on the federal level. In 2012, the Transgender Law Center won the Neonate case, which basically made it clear that it is illegal to discriminate against transgender people in employment under Title VII. Recent rulings have also made it really clear that students, trans students and non-performing students, are protected under Title IX. And here in California, thanks to the work of many of the folks in this room, we have more legal protections in place than I would say almost any other state of trans people in housing, employment, and schools. You know, I've been on hormones at this point for nearly 15 years, and the first time that my medical care was actually covered by my insurance was when I moved here to California a year and a half ago. You know, clearly we have made a great deal of progress as a community and as a movement. However, even with this increase in visibility, for the majority of the trans and gender nonconforming community, like, our folks are struggling to survive on a daily basis, right? Like, folks face incredibly high rates of unemployment. You know, the National Center for Trans and Equality and the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force did a study a couple years ago on the trans community. Many folks are probably familiar with this, but just to share some of the stats from that, because I think it's pretty clear. The rate of unemployment for trans people was 13%, which at the time was nearly double the rate of unemployment nationally. This was even more true for folks of color. 26% unemployment rate for black communities, 13% for Latino trans communities. And this is even more staggering. The survey found that 97% of transgender people have experienced mistreatment, discrimination, harassment on the job. 97%. Our community continues to face struggles accessing education, health care. We face high rates of incarceration, high rates of violence, and high rates of HIV and AIDS. The lifetime risk for HIV is 1 in 2 for black trans women, 1 in 3 for trans Latinas, and 1 in 6 for white trans women. You know, at TLC, we have a helpline where we receive calls from over 2,500 transgendered and non-conforming people across the country, their families seeking support and assistance. So we hear stories continually about the continued harassment and discrimination that our community faces. You know, even in a state like California, where we have so much protection in place, the discrimination and harassment continues to occur. So I just want to share a story of one person that we work with. So not too far from here in Orange County, Victoria Ramirez, a transgender woman, she worked for 6 years at two different Barnes & Noble stores. Now this just happened recently. We're not talking about 5 years ago, we're not talking about 10 years ago. When Victoria decided that she was going to transition from male to female, Barnes & Noble, which much love to HRC, which for the past 7 years has proudly advertised its perfect score on HRC's corporate equality index, suggested Victoria to harassment regarding her gender identity and expression. Her manager berated her about her long hair, makeup, and nail polish, saying her appearance was inappropriate for a family store, and that she should think of the children. When she came out as transgender, the manager set impossible conditions for her. Essentially, they forbid her to transition. They told her she wasn't allowed to wear women's clothing, that she couldn't discuss her transition with other employees, that she couldn't use female pronouns, and she couldn't use a woman's bathroom. When she told her manager that she couldn't hide who she was, who she is, she was fired. I wanted to share a quote from Victoria because I think the other thing is that to always raise up is that as a trans community, that while we are continuing to struggle, that we are incredibly resilient and powerful. She stated, "I love my job at Barnes & Noble. I put myself through college working there. I thought this company shared my values of hard work, integrity, and respect for all people. But when I came out as transgender, they didn't live up to those values. Instead, they responded by mocking me and forcing me to hide who I really am. After giving 6 years of my life to Barnes & Noble, I was devastated when I was fired simply for being myself. I lost my livelihood, my financial stability, and my confidence." You know, unfortunately, what happened to Victoria is not uncommon. This is what leads to sky-high rates of unemployment and poverty in our community. Transgender Law Center, along with co-counsel, however, are, we're going to see Barnes & Noble. And make clear that, you know, today, 2016, this type of unemployment discrimination is clearly illegal. Folks may have also heard about all of the anti-trans bathroom bills that are popping up across the country. Yeah, in Florida, Texas, Nevada. And I don't know if folks also heard that some anti-equality activists are now trying to bring a bathroom bill here to California. Basically, they're trying to put a ballot initiative forward that would require you to prove your biological sex when using a bathroom in any government building. And yes. Time to sit around and come up with these things, but it is what it is, and we're trying to put it on the ballot for November 2016, and they define biological sex as determined by birth, or medical examination, or birth certificate. So what makes this even worse is that the initiative allows, if you're caught using the wrong bathroom, allows a suit to be taken against you or the owners of the building with a minimum $4,000 fine. you know, so clearly this is unconstitutional, it's unenforceable, it's clearly intended to target transgender people, but it really is intended to target anyone whose gender expression and appearance doesn't look stereotypically female or male, right? Really anyone could be singled out just because you want to use the bathroom to prove your biological sex. So clearly, right, there's still much more work to do across the nation and here in California. But, you know, despite all of the attacks and the ongoing discrimination, violence, and harassment that transgender and non-conforming people face, you know, our communities are incredibly resilient, beautiful. We're leading movements, like folks I know right here in Palm Springs, there's incredible trans leaders and activists. We're organizing for change, we're building community, and we're supporting each other in communities across the country. Like trans and gender non-conforming young people and their families, trans and gender non-conforming women of color across the country are raising up and raising the visibility of our community. I'll just give a couple of examples, and I may be running out of time, so I'll try to go a little faster. But I'll just give a couple of examples. You know, right here in LA, the Trans Latino Coalition, led by Bambi Salcedo, who's a real legend in the community, has been organizing protests and actions to raise up the visibility and consciousness of the violence and the murders of transgender women of color in this country. In D.C., Ruby Corrado of Casa Ruby is opening up shelters for trans youth in D.C. At the Transgender Law Center, we just organized a national gathering in Chicago where we brought together 100 trans and gender non-conforming leaders from over 22 states to talk about how do we end the violence that our community is facing. This is a historic gathering. A gathering of its size had not occurred before. And in Tennessee, the Tennessee Trans Justice Project organized the first ever trans march in that state this year. So trans and gender non-conforming people, you know, and our allies, like many of the folks in this room and like Jeff, you know, we are organizing to change the conditions our communities are facing and to build a movement. You know, I'm standing here today with feeling a great deal of urgency. The reality is that the majority of my community, the majority of the trans community, is not making it, right? Folks are struggling on the day-to-day and sometimes not surviving. Here in California, we are about to face a statewide anti-trans ballot initiative. We know this means that statewide, we are going to see false, hateful messaging targeting transgender and gender non-conforming people like we've never seen before. And knowing how this has happened before, it's likely to target transgender students and youth. The reality is that over the next year and a half, trans and gender non-conforming people in California will be under attack. And this is a moment when we need everyone in this room, right? We need everyone in this room, your friends, your neighbors, your family. We are in a moment here in California where we will need all of us to push back against an anti-equality agenda that's targeting members of our community who are struggling to survive on a daily basis. We will need everyone to join with us to make sure California is a place where all members of our community are able to live, survive, and thrive. I just want to close by a quote from Sylvia Rivera. Anyone who knows who she is, she was an incredible trans Latina leader out of New York City. She was at Stonewall. She made major advances for the trans community in New York City. And she said this, "So before I die, I will see our community given the respect we deserve. I will not go to my grave without having the respect this community deserves. I want to go where I go with that in my soul and peacefully say we finally overcome." Thank you.
take a moment to give thanks to all of you for attending and to our silver sponsors, to our Bank of America, Floyd and Lisette Hager, David Stonewall Democrat, Jeff Kors, and James Williamson. Gray Public Relations and Marketing, the Hilton Palm Springs, the Human Rights Campaign, and Fusion Beach and Hotel, the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, Morgan Stanley, NicholasSnowLive.com, Planned Parenthood of the Pacific Southwest, and Trans Community Project, and Devin Payne. Special thanks go out to all of the table sponsors that are acknowledged in the program, and a short shout out to my fellow Human Rights Commission commissioners. Thank you for being here, all of you. We ask that you go out today and you tell your story. Use your voice. Let others know that you are here this morning. Have conversations with them. Create understanding. Go on social media. Be the change that Jeff spoke of. Together we can break down the barriers of discrimination, hatred, and bullying. We can sow the seeds of equality and social justice for all. Harvey Milk spoke the words of hope, and now it's our job to let those words of hope echo far and wide. This concludes our program. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next year.
I hope you've enjoyed and been inspired by my coverage of the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast. One of the organizing sponsors is Palm Springs Pride, and the annual event is always promoted at their website, pspride.org. Until next time, I'm Nicholas Snow.
You've been listening to Nicholas Snow Live. Find all of our advertisers and everything Nicholas Snow at NicholasSnowLive.com. Nicholas uses both Twitter and Facebook to alert listeners just as he's going on the air. Anytime 24/7, you may direct tweet at TheNicholasSnow or post your questions, comments, breaking news, and gossip on the Nicholas Snow Live Facebook page. Nicholas may very well discuss your tweet or comment on the air. When communicating with or about the show using any form of social media, be sure to use the hashtag NicholasSnowLive. You may also Skype into live broadcast from anywhere in the world. For Skype instructions and to review all the Connect with Show options I've just mentioned, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click Connect with the Show in the main submenu. Nicholas also broadcasts regular video chats and interviews on his YouTube channel using Google Hangouts. So subscribe at youtube.com/snowbiznow. That's youtube.com/snowbiznow. For all of his social media links, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Social Networks in the main submenu. This show is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.